Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here.
On this week's podcast, I am talking with Diane Thomas. Diane is a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. She's recently undergone chemotherapy and radiation with wonderful results, and we wanted to talk with her about that on the podcast this week. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you so much for having me today. This is awesome because there's something I really feel that needs to be shared with people about how this works. Yeah.
I'm so glad. As soon as you shared your news with me, first of all, I was overjoyed. And secondly, I said, let's do a podcast about that and just help other people understand what they can do for themselves or for their loved ones. And not just for cancer, but what we're going to be talking about today, I think, pertains to any condition or disease that a person might have.
You know, what I have learned through this path of dealing with the cancer, which I never thought would happen to me. It was like, it wasn't something that was in my family. It was just, it was not on my radar. And so it really came up with a surprise.
Yeah.
That was the case. But of course, I think the things that I learned through that really could be applied anywhere.
Yeah.
And with using Reiki and bringing allopathic medicine, of course, in as well with the chemo and the radiation, I chose to do both and chose to incorporate all of it together. Yeah, I've been doing Reiki for 20 years. I think it was 2001 that I got my first Reiki training. And I've been teaching since 2002. So I've just been, it's always been in my life. And Reiki has always been my guidance. It has brought so many things, so many new awarenesses to me. And I'm just really grateful for that. When this happened in January, so I got diagnosed in January. We were just getting ready to sell our house and move on the boat. This is the boat, by the way, folks.
Right.
So, and we do our best to have the best internet possible, but we live on a boat. So if you're going to be carefree, you have to take what comes with that. Just hope everything is okay. But we were just getting ready to move, step into a whole new lifestyle. And when this came in, it was pretty much of a shock. It was like, oh, okay. Where do I go from here?
I bet. Diane, before we go too much further, I'm just going to, because I really want to hear about all of this, but I just wanted to let people know about some of the things we've got coming up and go into a little bit of an invocation.
Oh, sure.
So I'm just going to, I know that for us, join us in early December, where we have an animal Reiki level 1 and 2 in Masters, a level 1 and 2 license, ICRT license class, and also animal communication. And in January, we have a full slate of ICRT classes. And what do you have anything coming up that people should know about?
Actually, I have both 1 and 2 Master and Karuna classes coming up starting in January. I'm taking a little bit of a break here to the end of the year, but a celebration break.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you can go to my website, and I believe that'll be listed. Pam will have that listed as well and get all the dates for those. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I teach all levels.
Do you teach on the boat?
Online.
Online. And my classes are all online, too. Do you teach on the boat? Because I think I'd like to come down and take a class on your boat.
Actually, I have had many interesting requests for that. And so it probably will be something that we will maybe put together in the future. I haven't quite gelled that one yet.
Let me know when you do. I think I'd like to do that, Diane. Well, I'm just going to bring people in a little invocation, and then I really want to dive back into your story and how it all came together. It sounds like it came at such a busy time, which it often does, doesn't it? Yeah. Yes. I'm just going to invite the listeners to close your eyes, take some deep breaths, bring your hands into gassho, and breathe. And just to recognize that the Reiki energy is here surrounding you, ready to assist you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And so often, however, we forget to ask for the assistance, or we may struggle to receive it. And sometimes life throws us these obstacles that seem even insurmountable. But we're here today to talk about how that isn't true and how we always have the resources at our fingertips for whatever we need. And I invite you, if you have any conditions or illnesses or pain or issues with your physical, mental, spiritual, or emotional body, to just invite those to come to the surface today and receiving the Reiki energy that Diane and I are sending you. Receiving the Reiki energy that occurs when we gather together like this from the hundreds of other people that are listening as well. And just ready to allow the Reiki energy to assist you in whatever manner that you need today. The Reiki energy will never work with you against your will, so go ahead and set your intention to release whatever it is that you have to release as you watch or listen to our podcast today. And just a note to say thank you to you for showing up, for your beautiful heart, and for the light that you are spreading in the world. Ahomatokwe awasan. Namaste and amen. Thank you, Diane. And we're going to talk about your light. What happened when you didn't think cancer was a possibility for you, and then what happened? Tell us how that went at this busy time in your life.
Yeah. I guess I'd have to say I'm actually grateful that it did happen during a busy time in my life, but it actually happened perfectly aligned with so many things as we were coming through the COVID situation and all the things that were going on with that. And we had to move quickly. And I almost didn't have time to really overthink what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I just had to make a decision. And I like sometimes that the universe so pushes me toward that. It says, we're not going to sit here and think about this and blah, blah, blah. Okay, you got to figure out what you're going to do and move on.
Right.
No time. So I actually kind of got pushed into that. And I decided to go ahead with the chemo. It was a little bit of a challenge, actually. My decision came easily, but a lot of people feel that if you've got all this energy work that you can do, can Reiki cure, of course, something like that? And I say, yes, Reiki can cure cancer. Mm-hmm. But what I want to really address that, because it was a big issue for me to think about that. If I just went with energy work, how would I gauge whether I was really doing the work, whether it was working?
Right.
How would I know? And to me, that was the doubt that I felt would actually get in the way of the work.
Sure. And you know,
if I wasn't really sure that I was actually doing what was necessary, would that actually step in as an energy that would keep me from actually doing it? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I think so, Diane, because basically you wouldn't have had the scans and the tests and the ways to verify that it mm-hmm. was working. And I just have to say this, that when I first learned Reiki, I used to say, oh, I can get this with energy. I can get this with energy. And I remember I threw my back out after studying with William Rand at Stonehenge. And my girlfriend did as well. And I said, oh, a week later, I was still on the couch saying, I can get this with energy. And she said, oh, I threw my back out too. We connected. And I said, oh, are you still on the couch like me? She said, no, I went to the chiropractor. And I realized that, and different times in my sessions, like occasionally I'd have a client who, I think of one in particular, and she really wanted to heal her strep throat with Reiki. And at one point in her session, the Reiki energy tell her, we invented penicillin for a reason, that God had a hand in that too. And to go ahead and take it, get rid of the strep throat so you can do more important things with the Reiki. And so I really gained a healthy respect for the allopathic medicine and for the reason that it's there. And I've had the good fortune, Diane, to work with people, a lot of people who've been given terminal diagnoses with cancer. And we're not always successful, but quite often we are. And I always ask them, please do what the doctors tell you as well. There's a reason that it's there. It's been known to work. And let's do it. Let's do both together. And I really feel that's been a big part of the reason for our success. So I'm happy to hear that you weighed that and you considered that. I feel, yeah, tell us a bit more about all of that.
Yeah. And I jumped in with both feet, but mm-hmm. then I started getting this is what's going to happen with chemo. Oh, you can't be on a boat and do chemo.
Really?
All these little things that kind of came up. And I realized this is kind of part of what I wanted to relate to, is that at first when I stepped into the chemo, and if you're not familiar with these processes, it's an accumulation that actually causes a lot of the side effects. So when you first take it, you feel okay. And then as you get the next one and the next one and the next one, it's accumulating in your body and it really starts dragging the body down to these difficult side effects. This 2 days after my first treatment, I was flat.
Okay.
I was, and I realized, and actually I had a friend that looked at me and said, oh my gosh, if this is where you are 2 days after the first one, how is she going to get through 4.5 months?
All right.
And she was really fearful for me. What I discovered was I was in so much fear about the side effects. I was in so much fear and I was focusing all on the side effects. Mm-hmm. Even though I have to say, when I went into the infusion, I said, I reikied the infusion, I reikied myself, of course, I visualized that this was beautiful mixture that was going to go in and help whatever was going on. And I did all of this visualization and everything. I was still very fearful of the side effects.
Okay.
And this went on for a couple of infusions to after the second infusion, I was really almost ready to quit. I was really in bad shape. But I was giving myself Reiki. I was receiving Reiki treatments. I was working on all that. And then, of course, I think Reiki actually had a big hand in showing me this, that I was focusing on the wrong thing. I wasn't focusing on my healing. I wasn't focusing on what my future was going to be like without this cancer. I was focusing on how terrible I am today right. and how much worse it's going to be. I was so caught up in that I was really creating it way ahead of time. So mm-hmm. when I realized that, I told myself, Diane, it's just time to get on with your life. What do you want to do? What do I want to do? And so I went to a project that I was doing on the boat, and I said, I'm just going to do this. And I started focusing on something else. And before you know it, I was doing much better. And by the time I saw the doctor for the third infusion, she was like, what changed? What happened? She said, you were in such a horrible place. And then now you're doing fine and everything's, I was just so much better. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was all in my perspective. And right. I just really encourage people who are under these kinds of treatments and working through side effects, or even working through what the disease is causing you to have to deal with in disabilities, is to try to shift your perspective on it, mm-hmm. of what you can do instead of what you can't do, how good you're feeling. It's so easy when you are feeling bad to let the glass get half empty instead of half full. It just really is. Mm-hmm. And I guess I had never quite experienced it quite that way before, and it was quite an eye opener as well. So I know that's not profound information, but it's like we get so caught up in it, we forget that simplicity of just looking at it from a different perspective. I was doing a lot of healing work. I was looking at the root causes, and this also helped change my perspective. Instead of looking at this as something that was dragging me down, I said, this is something that is showing me something that I need to heal within me. I've, of course, subscribed to Louise Hay's understanding that all of our issues come from an emotional problem or issue or old belief. And many times that is so buried so deep inside us, we don't even know we're carrying it around. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at that cancer and I said, this cancer is anger. Mm-hmm. This cancer, and I didn't think I was an angry person. I don't look at myself as an angry person.
I don't think of you as an angry person, Diane.
but there was some anger there.
Okay.
And I needed to deal with it. It was anger I had stuffed down inside. Mm-hmm. There was also guilt. Mm-hmm. I found guilt there. When I did some of the techniques, like the healing fire, mm-hmm. experience, or the old healing attunement, I had a couple of people who were doing healing attunement still, and mm-hmm. we did that. But it's the same technique as the healing fire too. Going to those places and finding that guilt down deep inside I was surprised. I didn't know it was still there, that it was there. And even though I didn't identify sometimes with exactly where it came from, I identified the guilt, mm-hmm. and I could feel it. And there was also something else interesting to me that was shame. Shame came up. And this can be past life things. You may not even be aware of that they're there. So that's why I say I don't see myself as an angry person, but obviously there was something there. And it's important that you get it out. So this is the same thing as shadow work. Mm-hmm. And here, because we're not even aware that these things are there, but they come up as disease. So I've started focusing on understanding that, on thanking the gift that was showing me where I needed to, what I needed to let go of, and not just go of, but what I needed to acknowledge. It's really acknowledging that's there instead of saying, oh no, I'm not an angry person.
It's acknowledging that maybe you're not an angry person, but there's anger there.
But there's anger there. And I had to acknowledge that anger. Mm-hmm. And so it's really acknowledging that, yes, some of these things do make me angry. And I don't have to put myself down or think that I'm less of a person just because there was anger there. And this is another thing. So we get so caught up in being so really good that we don't want to identify that anger or that guilt or that shame. So there it was. And I did a lot of that work. And I think that, of course, was major. So, yeah, I got the scans along the way. Things were working pretty good. The scans were showing that it was diminishing. And then we got finished with the chemo and I was like, yay, I don't think I'm going to do radiation. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm going to do radiation.
That was the guidance that you received was to do.
The lady just looked at me and she said, how could you go through all of that and not do the main thing that we need to do to reduce this tumor? To go, oh. And then I had all the radiation issues. I live on a boat. Oh, what can radiation cause me to do? And it actually can cause some fragility on your bone structure.
Sure.
And I go, what if I fall? And then, and so there again, I started up on it and went, oh, look what you're doing again.
Going into that old pattern of.
Go back into the pattern of focusing on the side effects and what could happen. And the doctor said less than 5% of people could even possibly have that problem. Mm-hmm. So your chances of actually that happening are so slim. But if you don't do this radiation, the chances of you getting cancer again
are
huge. She said, why are you letting this little bit over here dictate when this is the real thing you need to look at? Yeah. And I said, she's right.
Yeah.
And she was very familiar with Reiki. Her mother was a Reiki master.
Okay.
So she said, you do your Reiki, I'll do the radiation. And I had very few side effects from the radiation. I was shocked.
But it sounds like you shifted your perception very early on with the radiation. Is that right?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I really, once I committed to it, I said, okay, I'm doing it and I'm accepting it. We'll get through it. It's not a problem. And so I got through the radiation.
Yeah. And Diana, I'm thinking of a client and I did a podcast with her, Amanda McCordick, and she was diagnosed with a terminal form of cancer. And in fact, a very aggressive terminal form of cancer. And she's actually been diagnosed about a year ago in November. She was diagnosed no evidence of disease. And they didn't think she was still going to be around by then. One of the things and I can talk about this because she talks about it in the podcast. One of the things that happened was during our Reiki session together, I was guided to tell her to read Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me. Now, I've never read the book, so I didn't even know what it was about. But we proceeded with her Reiki session, and her Reiki session really talked about duality. It talked about, and again, I can share this with you because she shared this in our podcast, and it talked about duality, and it talked about that everything comes from love or fear, and she needed to let go of the fear and look at everything, even within her cancer diagnosis, with a lens of love. And she thought I was full of crap and you and I do the same type. Our meditations are guided. So I was just listening and reporting what I heard. And again, I'd never read the book, so I didn't even know what it was about. I'd heard about it. I just, without the details. So I didn't know what it was about. And I said, yeah, I think you're meant to read that book. She said, oh, it's funny. It's in here in my stack of books to read. I'll pull it out and read it this weekend. We talked about love and fear. Everything comes from one or the other. And the importance of looking at this disease and diagnosis and condition all with a lens of love. And that everything was one or the other. And she's a lawyer. She's very intelligent. And she just went, she's full of crap. Everything is not from love or fear. There's more than that. And that's how she went away from our session. And then she sits down and reads the book. And so the next week she said, I read that book. I said, oh, fantastic. What's it about? And she said, exactly what you said in the meditation, that everything's from love or fear. And that in order to heal from her own, actually, Anita Morjani had an NDE, a near-death experience, where she was floating above her body. Like she was really on her way out when she got the understanding of love and fear and came back into her body, went into spontaneous remission and healed. And it sounds a little bit like you had that journey yourself, like you recognized where you were going into that pattern of looking at the side effects and looking at the things to be frightened of And you, it sounds like you just independently made a decision. No, I'm going to look at the things I can do, or I'm going to look at what I want to do with my life when on the other side of this. So kudos to you.
Of course, our plan was to go sailing through the Caribbean. Yes, having Reiki classes on the sailboat sounds great. And just really enjoying life at its fullest. And I have all this in front of me, and I have the boat to do it on. I just have to be there.
You do.
All I have to do is show up at this point. And so it was really important that I show up.
And so then when you shifted your perspective and you went into that radiation, then what happened?
I flew through the radiation, I have to say, and I did reach it toward the end. And interestingly enough, both doctors, from the chemo doctor and the radiation person, both said, you went through all of this full dose. I never had to back off because of your problem of an issue. You went through both everything full dose, and that's just not heard of.
Really? I wasn't aware of that.
I wasn't either until the chemo doctor said that first. And she said, I'm just going to tweak it all a little off in the end, because I know you're, I was pretty fatigued by then. She says, I'll tweak it back, because she said, 95% of my patients, I have had to pull back way before before the end.
Yeah.
I've had to reduce the medications or something because it's getting them down so far. And she said, you just seem to be doing fine. But there at the end, I was like, yeah, I'm getting out of breath just getting to the car these days. And then with the radiation, she said the same thing. She said, I figured that you were probably going to be complaining a couple of weeks ago, and I never said anything. I said, yeah, it's got a little problem here and there, but it's not something I can't deal with. And it just put through. It's almost like a blur to me now that all of that happened, quite frankly, but it was pretty amazing. And then before the radiation was over, I'll have to say this, somewhere I would say probably the radiation was 5.5 weeks, so maybe around week 4, I don't even know what I was doing, but it was something very like walking down the sidewalk or something. And all of a sudden, I knew it was gone.
You just knew.
It was just like a light bulb went off, and I went, oh my gosh, it's gone. It's gone.
Wow.
And when they came back with the MRI after all of this was over, and when I sat down with the doctor and she said, the MRI shows you're clear. And I went, yeah, I knew it.
did they think?
I thought you'd be celebrating. I said, I already knew.
Was that unusual, Diane? Is that what they were expecting or just hoping?
No, there was a chance that it would do this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the cancer had not metastasized, which was, of course, a very fortunate thing.
Yes.
And that, of course, makes my experience much easier than a lot of people I know. But at the same time, I was on the verge of that. And so they said that what they were doing is an aggressive treat. They wanted to do aggressive treatments to get it before that happened.
Right.
And that was all part of the situation. But it was just something I just knew. And it was like I couldn't not believe it anymore, no matter what anybody said. But if it comes back, so, and I'm going, it's not coming back.
No, it's done.
My belief was so strong that I think even if it was not completely gone at that point, it was leaving, because the belief was so strong at that point. And so here's the other thing, your perspective, but your true belief that you can heal
mm-hmm.
is so powerful. And when you really believe it, now I believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt, it just couldn't be any other way.
I think that, you know, that's so important. I think that, I know working, Amanda's one of the terminal clients I worked with the most recently. I remember her saying, they're not giving me any hope. And of course, with Reiki, we can't promise miracles. We can't promise that people will heal. I've also had some terminal clients who didn't heal. I've had more that did, but I've had enough that didn't. And I always explain that I don't know how you wrote your journey. but whatever way you wrote it, Reiki will support you. And but she found that the Reiki and the Reiki sessions gave her hope. And with that hope, it gave her something to hold on to. Did you notice that too?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have to say, when I've worked with those clients as well. And when I think back on it, I wasn't aware of it at the time, of course, but when I think back on it, know that those that did manage to, that had their cancer go in remission, and those that did not, it's like I already knew that was going to happen because it was their perspective as much as anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
And I already knew it. It wasn't something I acknowledged at the time or saying, but, and I hate to say that, but quite frankly, I honored it either way.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the path for everybody. Some prefer to go ahead and leave, and that's okay too.
It is. It absolutely is.
And I honor that. And I don't say, oh, you just have to, you have to fight through it. I go,
no,
maybe that's not for you. I'm supposed to be talking about healing, but at the same time, we're here on this earth. Most everybody here probably believes in past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in past lives, you must also believe in future lives.
Right. Yeah, good point. I never thought of it that way, but that's a good point. Yeah.
So sometimes we just, it's time to, okay, let's end this one and let's get a fresh start.
And something you said earlier, Diane, I wonder if you could expand on that. When we were talking ahead of time, you said you've come to the realization that any condition or disease, and that can be cancer, that can be anything. I told you that I'm having trouble with a glute and have been for a little while. But any of those things that we have has a basis in unprocessed energy or emotion. Do you want to expand on that
right.
a little bit?
Of course, I can. Yes. Knowing that I've read so much about this, and I'll tell you, it's Louise Hay, of course, to me was the perfect example of that.
Yes.
Louise Hay had cancer in the 70s that could not be, they just sent her home and said, there's nothing we can do for you. And she started looking at this understanding that all of our physical problems are actually rooted in an emotional problem or an emotional issue or something that we are holding on to or processing. Some things go quickly, some things get very chronic mm-hmm. because we're still holding on to, like that anger apparently
right.
I've been carrying around for quite a while. And she engaged in that. She learned to love herself, and she lived another, close to 50 years after that.
Oh, yeah, she lived. Didn't she live into her 90s? And
yes, I know. She only passed away, I think, about 3 years ago.
Yes.
And that diagnosis was in the 70s. So, yeah. And when she then became publisher of Hay House and head of Hay House, and just an amazing story. And I've always subscribed to that. Even when it came down to things like a boil on my thumb, I go, okay, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Where is this lying in my emotional problems?
And William has always said that. He said the sum total of your inner, like your outer world is a reflection of the sum total of your inner world. So if there's anything in your outer world at all that you're not happy with or that doesn't line up, it's because you have some energy work to do. It's because there's something in your inner world that needs to be healed and aligned. Yeah. And I have Louise Hay's book right there. I keep it handy because I'm like you, you know, okay, what does that mean? Although I have to admit, I haven't looked up glute. So I do need to look that up.
And what I learned is how she actually came up with some of that. And I found that very interesting, too, because she doesn't address everything, of course. And when you go into it, because I was using an example of my
recording
thumb.
Stopped.
Oh, no. Okay. I ran out of space on my computer. Oh, I was worried that might happen. Okay, so it's okay though. We're going to record to the cloud and we'll just all splice it together.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'll start back on that.
Yep. So yeah.
Recording in progress.
So looking at Louise, go ahead.
Not everything in Louise's book, is addressed. She couldn't address every little thing, and things have come up since then. And when one day, like I said, I had issues on both thumbs. Had a boil on this one, and I had terrible arthritis in this one. And it was like, and I owned a bed and breakfast. So I started looking at this situation, and I'm going, how hard is it to change a sheet, to put on a fitted sheet with no thumbs? Can't do it. It's an extremely painful thing. And what I realized was actually what was going on was I was really not happy about the bed and breakfast at that point.
Okay.
I was really, my perspective was really off. And actually, when I started realizing that what I needed was some help, changing sheets and things like that, and hired someone to come in and help me clean and things like that. So then my thumbs got better, and it was kind of like, this was an emotional issue. I was unhappy. I was unhappy with how things were going, and I didn't sign up just to clean house all day. So I wanted to do my Reiki business. That was the important part. Yeah,
that makes
Reiki at my B&B.
And so you got some boils on your thumb to help propel that.
Yeah, but so I looked at the function of the thumb. Mm-hmm. What is my thumb functioning? It's actually, your thumb is the most important part of you being able to grasp anything.
Right.
What am I not able to grasp now? Just looking at those kind of very simply as to what it is causing you in problems or what you have to, sometimes what you have to do because of that. I say it's good that we have the flu, because the flu actually, it comes when you're worn down. What you need is rest. What causes you to go to bed and get some really good healing rest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's all you really needed to get through it. And that's what the flu does.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah, Diane, it's kind of simple things.
It is, really. But it makes so much sense. And I know that you are going to lead us in a meditation today. But before you do, is there anything else you'd like to leave people with? Any other advice or information?
I think... one other thing that, of course, I want to point out and that I realized is I never stopped teaching. Now, I know I'm probably not talking to a lot of people who are necessarily teaching Reiki, but not only was I getting sessions, I was still giving sessions, and I had groups of people sending me Reiki, and that was all wonderful. But I was also still teaching, and people would say, do you have the energy to do that? Once you step into the teaching, it's, you're so immersed in that energy. I never even noticed if I was tired.
Yeah.
It energized me. It helped me. And I just got through it. So I was really immersing myself in Reiki as well. So it was this fantastic hot tub Reiki bath all the time.
That is. And
just really an interesting thing. And I also encourage people to use other kinds of energy work. I'm not just talking about Reiki. One of the really good things that I stepped into with that was homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
And homeopathy actually took care of a lot of my neuropathy.
Right.
I had a lot of neuropathy problems.
Okay.
And even to the point it was on, my eye was going blind.
Oh.
And in the first part of it, the homeopathy actually stopped it dead in its tracks.
Nice. And I can't stress that enough too. I think that it is important to just, and I think, did Reiki guide you? I think Reiki can even guide you. Amanda, she had a list of 12 things that she was guided to do, I think, and we published it in with that podcast. But Reiki guided her. It guided her to try several different things and put them all together. And I always encourage people to do that. I think Did you notice Reiki guided you to the homeopathy or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was funny is, of course, when you're dealing with allopathic doctors, and especially when you're doing something like the chemo, and when I'd say, can I take this? Can I take that? I was very much into Ayurvedic herbs at the time before this. And I said, I would like to continue with my Ayurvedic herbs and, you know, to help my overall well-being. And she said, oh, no, you can't take any of those things. You can't take any herbs. You're actually not even supposed to use essential oils.
Really?
Any kind of assumable thing that would actually change any kind of chemistry actually in your body. And so it's very, takes all of that stuff away. Reiki was not something that they could take away.
Right.
And that's what I loved about it. And the homeopathy was very funny because I took that to her and I said, can I take this? Those little tiny little pills.
Wee little tiny, almost granules. And
yeah. I said, can I take that? And she looked at it and she goes, oh, those are sugar pills. Sure, you can have that.
Yep.
And I just smiled and thanked her. And I let her know. I said, those sugar pills, they really did the trick.
They really helped. Of course, I was surprised when I was, I forget who I was talking with. It might have been with Dr. Baldwin or maybe it was just my own research. But I was surprised that the placebo effect turns up for all, like, it's accounted for in all medication. When they do blind tests in medication, the placebo usually has an effect 50% of the time. And if the drug has an effect 55% of the time, it's considered a success. There's so much to be said for our mindset, isn't there?
Yeah. If you haven't read the book by Bruce Lipton called The Biology of Belief, mm-hmm. I highly recommend that book because it does absolutely talk about the actual physical changes that he saw as a biologist by the placebo effect.
I love that. And yet I don't believe that homeopathy is sugar pills, but yet it's okay if your doctor, if the doctor does and allows you to take it. I think there's a lot to it and to Ayurveda and just all of the other complementary therapies. I think that one of the beautiful things about Reiki is it blends with all of them. And I think that if it can help support a person going through this, then that's wonderful. When did you get the news that the tumor was gone completely?
Yes, the MRI was done, gosh, what was that, about 3 weeks ago?
I think that's when you mentioned it during our meeting, and I went, hey, Diane!
I threw it out to everybody. celebrating. Yeah, it was about 3 weeks ago. It was a great confirmation, and I needed that. I mean, I needed the confirmation. I'm not saying I didn't.
No.
But I really knew that was going to be the result. So, yeah.
I had a feeling, too. You and I worked together about 4 weeks ago, I think, or maybe a bit more. I don't even remember, but I know it was like after a radiation session. And so I was very aware of what was going on. And yet I had a feeling it was going to be 100%. And so I definitely celebrated with you when it was. Diane, thank you for all of this. And I know that you're planning on leading people through meditation. So for those who are listening to the podcast and driving, I'm just going to invite you to just put this on pause because sometimes these meditations can go deep. And Diane, here's her meditations. They're guided. They come through the way mine do. So it's likely to go very deep for whoever's listening.
Yes. And I would say, don't just be driving and just listen to it and think that, oh, I'll see what it's going, but I won't. Yeah. Because I think the first time you actually hear a meditation is the most powerful time because mm-hmm. then your mind is not trying to second guess it.
Right.
Listening to the guidance and just being in that visualization is extremely powerful. And as we know, the visualization is just as powerful as the reality that you see with your eyes open.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
Diane, I know that the way that you put the meditation together, it was for people with any condition or anything in their lives that they'd have to improve. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I want you to think of something that you would really like to address that is a health issue, preferably something that's like a physical situation, not just an emotional situation. So if you don't have anything that you're sitting here going, oh, I'm feeling pretty healthy right now, but I'd like to try this, then just do what I would say. I like to do a little mental CAT scan and go see if you can find some issue like a heaviness in your heart or something like that, and then just feel that. So I would say just feel that for a minute. Just close your eyes and feel what is going on. Pick the plates or what you're wanting to work on. Or like me, I had no actual physical discomfort with the cancer. Wow. So it was really kind of hard for me to actually identify with it because mm-hmm. it didn't bother me at all. But anyway, but just go in there and feel into that. And I want you to just feel it for a second. Just allow it to be there, even if you're not in a lot of pain right now, but you have had a lot of physical pain. Just feel into it for a second. And wherever that is, just think from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most painful or the most discomfort, 1 being the least. Just see where that rates right now. Just write that number down, and then we're going to that'll be just something that we'll look back on.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to take that discomfort with us, but we're going to address it in some way. So that's all I'm going to tell you.
Perfect.
Okay. Okay. So let's just, like I said, close your eyes. You're driving, just put this on pause and don't do this until you're where you can sit and close your eyes and actually immerse yourself in this visualization. Let's take 3 nice deep breaths just to bring ourselves into center and grounded. Feel the breath coming in, nice deep breath, and then releasing it. Like going out of your lungs, one last deep breath. Feel your whole body just relax into that breath. And let's just begin our visualization by starting at a stream. Let's see ourselves just sitting beside a beautiful stream. The sun is warm, shining down upon you. It's not hot, it's just comforting. There's a slight breeze in the air. In the stream, there is a freshness that is coming off of this water as it's babbling over the rocks. Sounds of this babbling brook. You can hear it. You can hear little birds in the trees and the rustling of leaves and maybe a little chipmunk that's not too far away that's digging down for a nice munch on an old nut you found. We feel very safe here. We feel very relaxed. We feel very connected to nature, connected to our true nature. And there just seems to be everything here that we need. But for some reason, we're carrying something that we really hadn't planned on carrying into this lifetime. And we'd like some answers. We'd like some awareness into this. And as we place our intention to receive, there appears before you a beautiful golden bridge. This bridge is the distance symbol, laying out across this creek. Actually, the creek has become quite a river. And the bridge seems to go way beyond that. This distance symbol will carry you there. Activate your symbol and walk upon this bridge. As you begin your path across the bridge, you will notice that there is another being behind you. It is a being or a guide, an angel. Someone who has always been there for you, and it will go with you, supporting you on this journey. So you walk across the bridge together. And you come down on the other side to a clearing in a forest. There's a bench there that you can sit upon. And that guide who has come with you is standing behind you. Hands on your shoulders, supporting you and letting you feel the safety of this place. There are many trees out in front of you. The forest. And as you look upon the forest, there are some deep, dark areas of it. And you're looking around and you see a shadow, actually, like something just ran behind the trees. What was that? You just caught it out of the corner of your eye. And then it ran to another tree. And then you start to see it peering around the tree at you. This could be a being, it could be an animal, creature, some kind. Just allow it to be whatever it is. And as you look at it with curious eyes, it begins to come out from behind the tree just a little bit. Just a little bit more, you can see it. More and more as it begins to step out from the tree and reveal itself. Notice the feeling that you have right now. What is that feeling? Is it anxiety? Is it resentment? Is it guilt? What is the feeling that you suddenly got in your heart as you look upon this being? It's very shy. It's looking down at the ground. And as you recognize that feeling, you look back at the being and let your eyes focus upon its loneliness. That it truly does not want to feel abandoned and alone. And your heart begins to reach out to it. You might stand up at this point and take a step forward. It might take a step backward. Notice what it's wearing or how it looks. Just notice everything that's surrounding you at this point. All of the energies that are swirling as this being becomes more able to accept your heart reaching out to it. As you step closer, it begins to allow you to get closer to it. And you get closer and closer. Take it up in your arms. Embrace it. Cry with it if you need to. Just allow it to be what it is. Don't have any desire to change it, but just to accept it. Embrace it. This feeling, this emotion that you feel, this has been the root cause of your problem. And now you accept it as part of you. This is not an acceptance of being it that much more, but an acceptance that you are all things. And this is part of being all things. As you dry its tears and blanket around it. Just allow yourself to believe that all things are possible, and I accept all things about myself. And I accept my anger, my grief, my guilt, my resentment. For we have had all of these energies within us. And as you carry this beautiful being, bring it back across the bridge of the distant symbol.
bring it back, because accepting part of this being is bringing you to a place of being whole and complete. There is no other place that we'd want to be than complete with all of our aspects, all of our parts of who we are, accepted and loved. As you come back to your seat next to the creek, holding this part of you, let's take a few nice deep breaths and just let your heart be filled with gratitude. Gratitude for all that you are. All that you become, this beautiful journey we call life. And so it is. Blessed be.
Blessed be, and so it is. Diane, that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for that gorgeous experience. Namaste.
We thank life all around us.
That was beautiful. That was just so beautiful. Thank you, and thank you to the listeners. I hope that you got as much from that as I did. That was beautiful. Namaste.